Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be back. I actually was back a couple weeks ago, but you weren't here. But anyway, it's good to be back, and boy, it's good to sing songs like that again. Boy, it's been wonderful. Well, let's pray, and we'll talk about the power of words. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. In your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would give us your grace and the empowerment to sanctify our lips and every word that comes from our mouth. Because what we say has incredible impact on our families and upon this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in 1987, the popular Pope John Paul II, went to Miami. And there was a man there that thought he'd make a little money by selling T-shirts. And he decided to put on the T-shirt in Spanish, lots of Spanish people in Miami, the phrase, "I saw the Pope" in Spanish. But instead of saying El Papa, which means the Pope, he said La Papa, which meant the T-shirt read, "I saw the potato." So if you don't think that words don't have power, think again. One little mess up and things can go very badly. I'm sure he brought great embarrassment to himself. I don't think he was very Spanish. I don't know. There was a married couple. And they were 60 years old, celebrating the 35th wedding anniversary. And a fairy appeared to them and granted them each a wish. And so the wife wished that she would see the world. And so the fairy waved her wand and poof, she had tickets in her hand for a world cruise. Well, how wonderful. Well, next, the fairy asked the husband what he wanted. He says, "I wish that my wife were 30 years younger than I am." And the fairy waved her wand, and poof, he was 90 years old. Be careful for what you ask for. You might regret it. So, a couple Sundays ago, I just kind of launched into the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of Proverbs. And as you know, Proverbs is in some ways a difficult book to read. And so what I've done is I basically come up with themes. And so two Sundays ago, we talked about friendship. And so today, of course, we want to talk about the power of words and how their influence and their power can either kill or bring life. So Proverbs says a whole lot about words in our speech. I mean, it's just on every chapter practically. And so obviously I can't cover everything, so I'm going to highlight a few things. And but the fact that it's written on every chapter practically in Proverbs tells me something. It tells me that our words, speech is incredibly, incredibly important. Something about our speech can control us and influence other people. So let me give you some samples before we kind of launch into the points. But here are a few things. The lips of fools bring them strife. And their mouths invite a beating. The mouths of fools are like their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. You know, in this modern age of Twitter or Facebook or whatever social media you might use, individuals and nations of the world are literally fighting each other over words or misunderstood words over Twitter, right? Just listen to government leaders. They're responding to each other's Twitter accounts. It's crazy. And they're not even really talking. They're fighting over careless words. And they haven't even met yet. And don't even know each other. All because of a few cross words. Let's look at a few more. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. So words can be a blessing, but also a curse. So the question is for us is, what is coming out of our mouth? What's coming out of your mouth regularly? Gracious words are a honeycomb. In other words, sweet stuff. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Do we understand how powerful, gracious, and encouraging words are for each other? So sometimes we don't understand how our poor choice of words can be demeaning, but we also forget how your encouragement can boost the morale and the spirit of a friend or someone you don't even know. I wonder how much we know that our words of encouragement actually lift people up. Another verse. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Sometimes silence is the wisest choice. Do you know how to hold your tongue? Some people are really good at talking, but do we know when to quit? Do we know when to listen, which, by the way, is our subject next week, is listening on the other end of things. So, what can words do? That's what we want to talk about. What can our words do? And so I want to look at several verses and talk about what they can do. Well, first of all, as already alluded to, words can kill. Words can bring death to the soul of another person. So Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. So it's like a weapon. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. So there's the contrast. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit, whether good or for bad, right? We are unwise if we fail to understand the power of our words. Our reckless words are like the cut of a sword, and it brings serious damage. They say that wounds will heal, but you know what? The scar is going to remain. You know, I recently heard a true story that happened way back in the 80s about an associate pastor of a church who was falsely accused by his own member, a member of his own church. And he was falsely accused of sexually assaulting her. Now, the police took her words seriously, and he was found guilty. 2 years later, this lady from the church recanted her story, and she confessed that she had made it all up. She confessed that she was in love with this associate pastor, who was a married guy, but he did not return the favor, as he shouldn't have, obviously. But he was a very nice man and did kind things for her, but she tried to punish him for rejecting her. So she took out her sword, and the sword she used was her words, false accusations to hurt him, revenge. Meanwhile, this poor associate pastor's reputation was hit really, really hard. He never pastored again, and words killed him. Hateful, vengeful words eventually brought death to this man, ruined his own reputation, and I might add, ruined the reputation of this lady as well, right? So there's this destruction everywhere. And on top of that, it divided the church family because the church sided with the lady at first, and then, of course, 2 years later, they found out that they were siding with the wrong person. It was an altogether big fat mess. Now, the church later apologized to the associate pastor for wronging him. But, as you know, the damages were done, wasn't it? It all began with words. Words kill. I mean, that's a drastic example, but I think you get the picture. Words can do serious damage. What about when a child is called stupid, or you're dumb, or you're completely useless? Children are incredibly impressionable and sensitive. And so demeaning words are like toxic chemicals that pollute one's soul. And so how many children struggle with their level of confidence because they have believed what they were told about themselves? And so James says our tongue may be a small part of our body, and it is. It's just a little part of our body, but it makes great boasts. Consider that a forest fire, as you know, and right now there's tons of forest fires, but probably every one of them began with a small spark, right? A lightning spark. One cigarette carelessly thrown into the grass turns into a burning inferno. We don't know how powerful our careless words can be sometimes. The spark of words can corrupt the entire body. It can set one's life on fire, and of course we mean that negatively. James goes on to say that no human being can tame the tongue. It's that powerful. It's that powerful. So let's go on to something a little more positive here. Words can heal. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. And then 15:4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. So words can kill, but words can also heal. Words of healing are like food or fruit that we need to survive on. And so words of healing come to us in different ways. You know, perhaps you remember the kind words of your parents, or you recall from a message or from a book, words that just struck you and stood out to you. And so they become like honey. They just nourish you. You go, wow, right? And it just breathes life into you when you hear these certain words of truth or words of affirmation or encouragement from a friend. These are words of illumination that, in a sense, turn the light on for you towards greater understanding about yourself and God and about Christian living. And so words can bring life to one's soul in such a huge way. All of us, I know, need healing words that affirm us and validate us. It doesn't matter how tough we think we are. You and I need affirmative words, especially when we're young, but even as we become adults, we need affirmative words. Now, a long time ago, I attended Bible college at Briarcrest in Caringport, Saskatchewan, but one thing I do remember came a few years after I graduated, and I was back at Briarcrest, happened to be speaking at their chapel as a member of a mission team. And I was super nervous to go back there. I mean, this is a kind of an intimidating place. There was like 800 people, you know, 750 students and staff and faculty. And I've done it before, but, you know, it's kind of still intimidating. So I did my thing, spoke, and our team shared. And then after the chapel service, Dr. Henry Budd, who was the president of at the time, and one of my teachers, he came up to me and shook my hand. And he says, Daniel, that's what people called me back then, Daniel, you're a preacher. And he thanked me for my message, and that was about it. But you know what? Dr. Budd's words were incredibly affirming because he was a great guy. He was a great man, and he was a great preacher. And so his words, simple words, Daniel, You're a preacher, kind of like, go for it, man. Keep it up. His words were soothing and uplifting, and God was using him and his words simply to pick me up. And his words of healing helped me to deal with self-doubt as a young preacher. Okay? And so many of these words throughout my life are like that. The words that build you up. So here I was, just a young guy, green as can be, early 20s, green behind the ears, as they say, and those are the words that I needed to hear. So his words of encouragement breathed life into me. And so as I look back at my life, I can remember words from individuals and my own family members and books I read or sermons I heard that helped me continue the journey of life in ministry. And I only hope that I can do the same for others. Words that lift up people. So know the power of words, not just how they can hurt people, but how they can really encourage people. And for whatever reason, there is a thinking out there that compliments, you shouldn't give compliments to people because you're going to make them proud. Okay? And sometimes there's that thinking out there. And so words of encouragement are rarely given. Proverbs isn't talking about flattery here. Okay? We need to speak the truth. Proverbs is talking about words that build up the heart and mind of someone. When our perspective is always negative and finding fault with people, our words will often do damage. So ask yourself, are you aware of the power of words and what kind of words are coming from your mouth? Are they words that are always critical, or are they words of healing? Think about for yourself what you tend to do. Words also fill us. Here I turn to Proverbs 12, 13 to 14. Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands bring them reward. So here I want to focus kind of on the middle phrase there. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things. Well, I think this is really quite insightful here. They say that the words we speak fill us up internally, okay? So the words that come out of our lips will also fill us internally. In other words, the good words that we use return to us inwardly, doing us good. So again, the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things. So in the same way, our evil speech will also harm us inwardly and internally. So let me explain. Words that we speak, as Tim Keller says, embody and strengthen thoughts. So for example, when you say to someone, I hate you and I wish you were dead. And you say those words because you felt those words, right? And so it just comes out of your mouth. But once you get those words off your tongue, you feel that hatred even more. Okay? This is what I'm talking about. You feel that hatred even more. So when what you say fills your heart internally, in this case, the anger is stirred even more because it comes out of your lips. Now, if we use words to encourage others, you bring blessing not only to the person that heard your words, but in a sense, you bring blessing to your own soul, right? So it comes back to you and blesses you. And you speak words of affirmation, and you have an affirmation that comes back to you as well. So when you use mean and careless words against your spouse or your children or enemies, you only increase your level of frustration and hatred, etc. You make things worse by the words that fly off our lips in a temper tantrum or whatever. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't be honest about how we feel, okay? So this is kind of where we start thinking, well, does that mean I just say nothing, you know? Do I just shut up? Proverbs 10:19 says, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. So, you know, we don't want to be lying. We don't want to just be, you know, covering up and feeling a certain way. If we feel hatred towards someone, the words that we use must not be vengeful words, or we're going to hate more. When these words get out, it's like dumping diesel fuel on an already burning campfire, right? We've all been there, right? We're kind of cheating, right? Put the diesel fuel on. But anyway, you know, that's burning. Put diesel fuel, it's just going to get worse. Rather, we use words properly when we confess our anger, okay? So you're still being honest, but you're confessing your anger, not ventilating it. When we ventilate anger against those we are angry against, then we get in trouble. So wiser advice is to talk to God. Wiser advice is to heed the advice of King David or follow his model. And he poured out his soul before God in heaven for whatever emotion he was feeling. So he didn't leave it trapped inside. He prayed it out. He prayed out his anger. He prayed his anger with great emotion. Read the Psalm. It's all over the place. Wiser advice is also not only to consult God and express your anger and your frustration, but talk to a trusted friend before you get out of control, who you can safely talk about your anger and your rage or whatever emotion you're feeling, because the last thing you want is to skip those steps and you go right on to the person that you're mad at, and then wham, everything is just destructive. You know, sometimes we are caught in this ball of emotion and we're agitated and we're confused. And so the best advice is to talk to God. Talk to a friend and simply say, listen, I am struggling with this anger like you wouldn't believe, or with this frustration or this anxiety or this temptation. Talk to a trusted friend. Learn to cast your burdens upon the Lord, because he cares for you, he says. When we express these words in appropriate ways, it will help get our thoughts out in the open appropriately, right? Before we use them carelessly. Talking to a trusted friend who is outside the hurricane of our emotion can help you sort out what needs to be thrown out, right? What might be sinful thoughts, foolish, but at the same time, get into the heart of why we are angry. Okay. So words fill us. James 3:2 says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. So if we manage the tongue, we can manage the whole of life. Our words also expose our heart. A few verses here. Well, we'll start with the first one. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives. Those who speak rashly will come to ruin. So this proverb is a warning against speaking rashly. Now, rashness is more than a lack of carefulness. The Hebrew word for rashness is often used for sexual promiscuity, for exposing things that should be left covered, okay? So, impulsive, imprudent speech refers to how words can reveal the deepest parts of our heart. So this kind of rash speech that should be left guarded and protected can harm us outwardly as we expose ourselves inappropriately to people. Okay? So there are many people who have spoken rashly and then were completely discredited and shamed for their speech. So this is talking about how when words come out of our mouth and people hear it, and it ruins your reputation. It is like a prostitute who exposes herself inappropriately. What is she doing? Well, she's trashing herself. She's disrespecting herself. She's got no reputation, right? So that's kind of the graphic image, but the same is with rash speech. When you talk like a fool, act like a fool, you get a reputation. And it comes back on you. And it's hard to replace. You will never be respected well unless your words begin to change. The same thing happens, of course, when rash words come out, what should have been kept private. You know, all of us followed the dramatic rescue of those 12 boys from Thailand, didn't we? And their coach. I mean, what a dramatic rescue. An impossible rescue. But they did it. And so during the rescue, there was a man by the name of Elon Musk. And Elon Musk is the CEO of Tesla, and they're the builder of electronic cars. And he offered to help by sending his own mini submarine. I'm sure you heard about that, right? And so his mini submarine was never used. It was just kind of kept on the shelf, so to speak. But in the media, just came right out in the open, one of the British cave divers who rescued the boys later criticized Elon Musk. He said the submarine never would have worked, and then he dropped a few inappropriate words over social media against Elon Musk, okay? I'm not going to repeat exactly what he said. Well, the British diver felt that Musk's offer to use this mini submarine was just a publicity stunt, right? Trying to make publicity for his own Tesla company. Well, when Elon Musk heard these words, especially the derogatory words against him, he then got onto whatever social media account was available, and then he tore into the British diver, calling him the pedo guy, which of course suggests that the diver was a pedophile, and the war was on, okay? Well, you know, honestly, both guys were wrong, inappropriate, but after Elon Musk said these inappropriate words, calling this British driver, suggesting he was a pedophile, I mean, his reputation just got hit hard, okay? So his company stock lost billion, anyway, tons of money, okay, on the stock market. He later did apologize, which is a good thing. It's always a good thing to apologize, but not before his reputation took a hit. And he's still struggling with his reputation as we speak. So, if we speak rashly, with unguarded lips, if you're known to be, you know, running with your mouth all the time, you're going to take a hit. That's not a good hit. You're going to have a bad reputation. You will bring ruin to yourself. When we start saying things that should be left alone, we bring scorn to ourselves. And most of all, our words expose the condition of your heart. So, in a sense, they tell the truth about you. Jesus himself said, The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. There you go. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The tongue reveals what is at the core of our being. Some time ago at another church, a wife came to me to see me about her marriage. And it was really early on. They were just married. She says that I really didn't know her husband. She said at work, he is a horrible man, shouting and screaming at his workers, but on Sunday he comes all smiles and friendly. But on Monday to Friday, she told me, he basically was the real person, right? And on Sunday, she says, you don't really know. It's all a lie. And she was right, very right. And she talked to me because the words he used from Monday to Saturday, or Monday to Friday at work, was now showing up in their own marital relationship. Okay? And it was killing their marriage. So, religious on the outside, but really not so religious in the true sense of the word. The tongue reveals what is at the core of our being. James says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Wow, pretty powerful, eh? Worthless. So you could be a quote-unquote religious person, and yet if you have an unguarded tongue, James says, hey, your spirituality is worthless. Earlier, I quoted James, who said, no human being can tame the tongue. And I read that at first, and I thought, wow, that's a pretty profound statement. Right? I mean, we can tame the horse. We can tame dogs. We can try to tame our cat. Good luck with that. But to tame the human tongue, we can't do it. So I hope you recognize the power of words, but I also hope you recognize that ultimately you and I need God's help to tame the tongue. That's the point of the Christian life, because the Christian life says, Lord, I need you. I think we sang that this morning. Yeah. Lord, I need you. You know, Jesus never spoke one wrong word, which is amazing, isn't it? He never spoke one wrong word. People said of Jesus, no one has ever spoken the way this man does. People were amazed at his speech. Why? Because he was perfect in every way, and so therefore he was pure, and his words were pure. He was always in spiritual synchronization with God the Father. So, you know, do a little self-evaluation as we close here. Are you a complainer? Are you a criticizer? Or do your words bring life to others and yourself? I mean, we all know that there's room for what we call constructive criticism. But even words like that have to be used with graciousness and wisdom, because you're thinking about the benefit of the other person who's receiving it, right? For our heart to change, for our words to change, our heart must change. And we need the Holy Spirit's help. Lord, I need you. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, that's the selfish side of you, you will die. But by the Spirit, God's help, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. And the littlest part of our body, our tongue, will only be controlled when we let the Spirit of God control it. Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard over your mouth. Lord, keep watch over the doors of my lips. So even in the Psalms, there's a call out, Lord, I need your help to guard my lips. Finally, let me say this. We need God's word in our life to change the words that come out of our mouth. Okay, let me say that again. We need God's word to change the words that come out of our mouth. Jeremiah and the Apostle John, we are told, ate God's word. I mean, they didn't literally, eat a book. But they ate it like food. They consumed God's word, and it went through their souls to change them. God's word was embedded in their soul, in their life, to transform their life. That is why our words can change, because they were filled with God's word in their life. Let's pray. Lord, our words are always coming out of our mouth, and it's scary even as I talk about this, because it's a large part of my job. Words. And we all use words. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would, first of all, heighten our understanding of how potent our words can be. And then we also ask, Lord, that you would reveal to us the things that we need to clean up, so that our words can be used to build up your body, to build up those around us, our neighbors, our work associates, and people you bring into our life. And so, Lord, we cry out and say, we need you. We need you, Lord, to help us with our speech. In Jesus' name we pray.
Please stand and join us as we close in song.